I call cases 19494, 19495, 19496, 19497, 19498, 18911, 18912, 18913, 18914, 18915, and 19499, 19500, and 19501. Did I get them all that were consolidating?
We'd also request that some cases on the administrative docket, which are cases number 17883, 84, 85, and 86, also be consolidated with these numbers.
Okay. I'm going to call all those cases. We're going to consolidate those for the purpose of hearing. And these are all applications of Baytex Energy USA Limited. All interested parties, please come forward.
Thank you, Madam Examiner. Once again, we appreciate the fact that you're willing to consolidate these matters. We have three witnesses.
We're going to call, well, actually, we're going to have two witnesses in these matters. We have a third witness who will be available for any questioning that the commission may have on some of the background in Baytex attempting to secure gas gathering facilities or connections in this area, but we don't plan on offering any direct testimony with him. The witnesses we'll be calling is Randy Verrett. We'll start the presentation, and Ward Rickla, who is an engineering witness, will be providing the commission with some engineering testimony, and then the other witness, if needed, is Mr. Dan Anderson. And Madam Examiner, while we're handing out the exhibits, I might note that we have oversized exhibits. The reason for that is it's a relatively large area, and if we had to put the exhibits on 8.5 by 11, it was very difficult to read things around it. So, and then in terms of uniformity, we just put everything on large paper. So,
sure, perfect.
Hopefully, there's not a problem with that. And I would point out that we don't plan on any testimony with respect to the cover page. I mean, it's just a simple map, and we don't plan on any testimony with respect to the second page, which just lists the 17 cases that you have consolidated. And as I indicated, we'll be starting with Mr. Verrett.
And I'll note that I'm not sure if you mentioned it or not, Mr. Bender, but all of our witnesses are in the hearing room, so I'm going to have you all raise your right hand. Promise to tell the truth in this case?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Randy, would you state your full name for the record, and I will tell you that what you have to do is hit a little button there. The microphone will turn red, and when it's red, that means it's on.
Okay.
So, and it will turn off periodically, and you'll have to hit that button.
All right, so. I'll keep an eye on that.
Okay.
my name is Randy Verrett. I'm the manager of Regulatory and Environmental Baytex Energy USA.
And in that capacity, have you testified before the commission previously?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And in preparation for today's hearing, have you assembled certain information and documents that you have put into the form of exhibits that you plan on presenting here today?
Yes, sir, I have.
Let's turn to the packet of exhibits, Randy. Let's go to Exhibit L1. And as all these exhibits, there's a lot of information on it, so I'm going to ask you to summarize in some respects with the understanding that I may have some follow-up questions and certainly the commission staff
will
have follow-up questions, but there's no need in your direct testimony to cover every piece of information that's on every exhibit. So
correct.
With that in mind, let's go to L1.
L1 basically is a map that depicts all of Baytex's operator drilling and spacing units up here in this portion of Divide County. This covers the 33 wells that are all part of today's docket, the consolidated request. This just simply shows Baytex's working interest in that we are the operator and we have a controlling interest in each and every one of those units.
And the yellow, what's the yellow mean?
The yellow is just Baytex's basic leasehold up here in these particular townships in this area.
So from looking at the map, it looks like there's going to be some additional drilling in this area by Baytex. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, let's go on to the next exhibit, which has been previously marked as Exhibit L2. What I'd like you to do on that exhibit, Randy, as you did with the previous exhibit, identify it, briefly highlight what's contained upon it, and explain why it's important to today's presentation.
Basically, what Exhibit L2 is it takes all the fields that are out here in our operating area in Divide County. It takes all the cases that are involved today and puts them on a convenient map where they can all be spotted visually, where you can see the positioning of all the wells in the area, all the case numbers that are associated with all the various wells. If you look down on the left-hand side, down there in the text box down there, you can see the green dots or the green labeled wells are the field wide. There's five field wide cases that are involved here. Those wells are involved with the fields. The blue wells that are labeled with the blue are single well applications that are either pending or are being heard today.
And what you mean by that is the applications that are before the commission today really request twofold. One is for flaring for conservation purposes, and the other is a request for flaring because there is no market for the gas, and Baytex believes they should be provided with an exemption for the paying of taxes and royalties. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Let's go on to the next exhibit then, Randy, which has been labeled as Exhibit L3. Once again, a lot of information. If you can summarize the information to tell us why this exhibit is important, that'd be great.
Right, and this is basically a backup to the map that was provided. It simply is an inventory of all the cases that are before us. If you look just very quickly, if you look in the left-hand column there, those are all the well file numbers. Your well name is there, the respective fields, date of first production, 1 year from date of first production as far as the flaring goes. The case numbers, under case number, there are all the cases that are listed on this consolidated case today. They're all in there in order. And then the far right side where you have comments, those are just additional comments that I put in and historic references that tie back to the number of cases that are involved here. So this is basically, I put this together so that it's a one-stop deal where you have a complete listing of everything that's involved.
Okay, Randy, let's go on to the next exhibit then, which has been previously marked as Exhibit L4. Can you tell us what Exhibit L4 is?
L4 is a typical drilling schedule that we customarily provide the permitting section. I've incorporated this into the proceeding so that the commission can see the upcoming wells that we have on our drilling schedule for 2013. And you'll see these on further exhibits. This is just additional background information to kind of give you a timeline of what the expectation is as far as our drilling program and what we have known so far.
So to summarize, it does demonstrate that you have an ongoing drilling program in the area, and that's going to continue through 2013, is that correct?
That is correct. And if you notice down there on the coding, the P means it's a permitted location. As you can see, we've got a number of locations we're permitting, and we're working forward on the 2013 program.
And right now, this exhibit demonstrates that you have two rigs in the area. Do you plan on continuing with those two rigs? Are there plans to add more or reduce to one? Can you provide us with a little information on that, Randy?
Right now, we're talking a two-rig program like we've been doing the last 2.5 years. We may elect to go to one at mid-year. That depends on performance, et cetera.
All right, let's go on to the next exhibit, which I believe is marked E1.
Correct.
And as you've done with the previous exhibits, tell us what this exhibit is and why it's important.
Well, this exhibit here is the basic map that was provided to us by Burke Divide Electric Co-op. Power out here, three-phase power, is quite a bit limited in the Divide County area. I've included this exhibit because this is a basic infrastructure project, and without electrical power out here on a widespread basis, it goes together with the gathering system that we're going to be presenting to you guys. So I wanted to show the commission the current plan, and if you look at the completion timeline over there on the left-hand side, it gives you some details as far as the different phases that we have contracted for service with Burke Divide. I might add that this is part of an overall collaborative effort out here in Divide County. Baytex is one of several operators that is contracting with Burke Divide to get three-phase power. Also, One Oak is involved with this as their compressors and their compressor station, those 1,500 horsepower compressors will be electrically driven as well. So this basic map just gives you a visual of the various substations and the various wells and the different phases and the expected hookups of those wells for three-phase power.
Now, Randy, you don't need to go into this in great detail, but this is not just a capital investment by Burke Divide Electric Cooperative. Baytex also has something to do with this in terms of capital expenditure. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And just spend a moment. I know you're going to get involved in this in a little bit more detail as we go on, but the reaction of the staff might be, hey, we're here talking about gas gathering facilities. Why are you presenting such an elaborate exhibit with respect to infrastructure for electric connections?
Well, as far as the significance of this exhibit is very straightforward. By running electric motors, what we found is that they're much more dependable and reliable and cuts down our downtime. This maximizes our ability to put gas in the line as the gathering system is put together. It allows us to maximize our gas sales. This lowers our emissions because we no longer have gas-fired engines, so our GHG, our subpart W emissions, greenhouse gases, are reduced by not running those engines. We have less noise, and it also plays into the fact that not having a grid out here has had an impact on some of the options we've been able to exercise as well, and we'll get into that as we go through the presentation. So it is definitely tied directly to the gas gathering and gas sales and marketing out here.
And in terms of exercising other options, what you're talking about there is alternatives to gas connections or flaring. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. Let's go on to the next exhibit, E2. Want to tell us what E2 is?
This exhibit E2 is intended to give the commission a flavor for some of the nuts and bolts on the map. You can see that right now Baytex has 8 wells that are currently serviced with electricity. Basically what we're looking at here in these different phases we contracted with Burke Divide, by July our intentions are between existing wells and then also additional wells that are new drills coming on, that we'll have 60 wells hooked up by July. And 51 miles of line is currently being run or will be run in order to get all those wells hooked up. So that kind of gives you a flavor. This is a comprehensive electrification project. It's not just Baytex, I might add. Other operators, and you'll see that down there in a couple of the bullet points. Samson's involved out here, Crescent Point. Hunt's coming into the area. SM's in there, so there's others involved besides Baytex. And just as a historic note, too, and I think this is significant, this is the largest project, basically, that Burke Divide Electric Co-op has been involved in here, probably in the post-World War II era. In the next 5 years, electric consumption out here is going to double. This is basically a $50 million project, which we're a part of. So that gives you a little bit more of the flavor for the scope of the project.
So it's not only a collaborative effort between Baytex and Divide Burke Electric or Burke Divide Electric, but other companies are involved with the operation as well. All right, let's go on to the next exhibit then, Randy, exhibit E3. And tell me what E3 is.
E3 comes off the North Dakota Pipeline Authority website. And basically what I'm doing here is I'm just placing our leasehold up there in the northwest corner of Divide County where the bulk of our operations are inside the red line. I think visually what this tells you is that this is a remote area. As you can see, there's not any major lines going across there, and most of the activities to the south and the east. So that's what that's in there for. I might point out, as far as the gas gathering system goes, all this gas that we're in the process, we've contracted with One Oak. If you notice down there, the State Line 1 plant, all this is intended to be tied in and sent down across Williams County down to the State Line 1 and State Line 2 plants that are to the south.
Now, you mentioned a couple other companies that operate in the area. Do they operate within that red outline, or if they don't, maybe you could point out for the commission staff where those other companies operate?
Sampson is primarily to the north of us. Continental is primarily to the east. SM has some to the west. That's probably, as does Crescent Point, that's the basic facts on the ground.
Okay. And your understanding is that installation of the or the electrification of this area is going to assist those operators as well?
Absolutely.
Okay. Let's go on to the next exhibit then, Randy, exhibit E4.
There's a lot of information on this exhibit, but I think when it gets fully digested, it's a very very important exhibit, and I think it gives a very good visual of the scope of this project and what we're doing. Let me call the commission's attention to a couple of things. Up there in the left top, you'll notice that there's a qualification up there. I have placed completion dates on these laterals as depicted on the map and supporting data. These are based on One Oak's current estimates as far as their best estimates as far as when these lines are going to be installed. For informational purposes, up to the north of us, there are additional lines that are being installed currently. You can only see one of Sampson's lines on this. This is Sampson number 3. You can see it running across the northern tier there between Fortuna and Crosby on the very north edge of the map. There are 3 laterals of that scope that are further to the north going up towards the Canadian border. That's where One Oak is doing installations right now, and they're working south across our leasehold. So that's just as a point of reference there. If you look down in the legend, what I have done, this contains all the wells we have on the map here in this area. It also contains wells that we plan on drilling. So if you look down there, existing wells with flaring authority or black labels, proposed 2013 wells that are on our schedule are in red so that you can see those, the ones that are coming up. Field-wide flaring applications are the green labeled wells, and then the single flaring applications are like the other map, like the L2 map. They're all listed in blue. So that helps you code the map as far as what category each well is in. You can see the laterals as they run east-west. There's a main gathering line, Crosby South, as it's referred to. If you look down the very bottom right-hand corner, you'll notice that Crosby South, that has to be built going up to the compressor station so that we can put the laterals in and connect to that to send it up to the compression station before it goes out to the discharge line and goes south. So important point there. You can see basically how this has evolved is that due to topography and the type of – out here, all these right-of-ways, this has been the biggest challenge I believe One Oak has had is these right-of-ways. We have to have a private agreement with every one of these landowners, and I've got some statistics on that as well. So you'll notice that it's not a straight line. We're trying to gather as many wells along a particular lateral as we can. So that's the objective, is to try to string it all together and get it up there to the compressor station and then get it to market. That compressor station, for the record, is scheduled to be operational mid-March 2013. So we're about 2 months away from being operational on the compressor station.
Just a couple of summary questions, Randy. You indicated that this particular exhibit depicts the discharge line from the compressor station and then goes off the map. You talked about the various laterals. In terms of the wells, are these the 60 wells that you're talking about that would be connected, or are there wells listed on here that are going to be drilled down the road?
There are some wells that are going to be drilled down the road, and those so far that we've identified are in red. And you'll notice they're the same wells that are listed on the drilling schedule. So that's the code there. Those are the ones that are upcoming that have not been drilled yet.
And you started out discussing this exhibit by mentioning that these are estimates in terms of connection. Can you tell us why an approximate connection date may or may not be met?
Well, there's several reasons. One, of course, is that we have, as One Oak is having to negotiate private right-of-way agreements with each and every landowner along a segment, there is the possibility of some right-of-way delays. That's one item we've run into, as you would expect, dealing with a number of people. There are some wetland implications down on the south end of the block. There are a number of wetland easements down there. There are some habitat areas that have to be dealt with that may have nesting windows and things of that nature that have to be dealt with. So as we go across a tier on a lateral, there's going to be different conditions and different circumstances with each one. But based on the conditions at hand, weather, of course, is another factor, provided that decent weather holds out. These are the estimates that our gatherer has given us as far as the hookups.
And you're going to get into this in a little further detail in another exhibit, but in terms of the lines that need to be constructed for Baytex connections, how many miles are we talking about?
The total on the map here, as you'll see down there in the left-hand corner down there, right above the legend, right now we're at a total of 119.6 miles to execute the laterals, the gathering system for Baytex that's depicted on the map.
Not a small project.
Not at all.
Okay. Let's go on to the next exhibit, E5.
E5, and one thing I did not mention, in the thick blue line is the discharge line. That's a 35-mile, 12-inch steel discharge line that runs down to state line. Or actually, it runs down into Williams County, then over to state line. So that's what the thick blue line is. The Crosby South line, just so you're not confused, it comes up underneath and runs in the same corridor. You can't see it because the big blue line covers it, but that's how you come up with the 17 miles for Crosby South. That's the main line that gathers all the gas out of the laterals up to the compressor station to send it south. So I just want to make sure that that's clear. This map is put in Exhibit E5 as a courtesy to the commission just to show you kind of what the culture looks like in the topography. If you look on the south side down there, you'll notice there's a lot of isolated wetlands, potholes, as most people would call them. You can kind of see the terrain down there. It's pretty remote and rough down there in some of those areas. So that's why the lines don't exactly go straight. So that's put in there just to give you a flavor for kind of what we're running into as far as some of the logistics.
So E5 is basically identical to E4, other than the fact that you have topo on this.
Precisely, aerial, yes.
Okay. All right, let's go to E6.
E6 is just basically a summation of the 1-0 gathering system. And again, when I say a system, Baytex is one company who's involved in this system. Samson and Baytex were the two that basically got this started and negotiated successfully contracts. You can see there, April 4th, 2012, One Oak announced the installation of a $160 million, 270-mile gas gathering system to service Divide County. The current estimates on this by One Oak, when all is said and done, is going to be closer to 300 miles. That's including the 35-mile discharge. And as I stipulated on the map previously, Baytex's portion so far of what we have in the way of known right-of-ways that are agreed to is going to be approximately 120 miles of that. So we're one part of a bigger piece here. As I mentioned before, you can see the bullet points coming down. Key point compressor station should be operational mid-March. That's when the market starts, as far as we're concerned, right there. Mid-March is where the market starts. You can see some of the other lines, Crosby South. That's a key line to get the Baytex stuff connected. That will be starting in February. Just for the record, Baytex 11, which is our farthest northern lateral, which is about, I think it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 27 miles on a couple of segments there, that should be starting imminently. I don't have knowledge that the One Oak has begun pipeline installation on that, but they have the right-of-ways acquired necessary to get that done, and that should be starting shortly. And we're expecting that first tier there of our pipelines to be completed in the May-June time frame. Now, one thing I want to make clear, too, and this is an important feature, too, and I did not put it on this, when One Oak is going out on one of these east-west laterals and installing pipe, they have the capacity to block the lateral. So what that means is that if we get a grouping of wells that are completed in lines by it, we can hook up and begin sending gas over to the compressor station before One Oak finishes out the rest of the line. So that's going to enable us to get some of this on a little quicker as we go out. So we won't have to, if we go 16, 17 miles on a ladder, you don't have to go all the way to the end is what I'm saying. So that will help us expedite our hookups. So point there. You can see this as it comes down. I had mentioned about the possibility on the southern laterals about some delays down there. We're still working through that. Wetlands, among other issues. So that's just captured on the bottom comment there.
Okay, let's go to E7.
E7 is just simply a spreadsheet, a chart that I put together to give the commission a better feel for the size and scope of this project and what's going on. The lateral names there, Baytex 11, Baytex 10, those all correspond to the color-coded laterals that are on your exhibit E4 and E5. The mileages will correspond with the mileages that are depicted on the map, and of course they add up to 119.6 currently. The landowner tracts, that's to the best of our knowledge, by information provided by One Oak, or the number of right-of-ways they're having to acquire along a particular route. So that'll give you a flavor for how many landowners currently are depicted on that map. It's 235 separate right-of-way agreements that have to be negotiated and finalized. One Oak has no eminent domain capacity, so all this has to be privately negotiated. So I think that's significant. Right-of-way agreement, you'll see a percentage there. That's the approximate amount of right-of-ways that have been signed. So obviously 80% is 80%. So whatever that number is that they're working along that line, they've got that many folks signed. The other thing I would add here very quickly, if you tally this up, if you go down from Baytex 11 down to Baytex 7, basically by no later than sometime in October, we're looking to have 56 wells hooked up. That's almost 80% of the total wells we have. The other thing I might add is that in a couple of these areas where we're going in with some development work, those development wells are right along those laterals where we'll hopefully capture that flush production from first production. So we think that's significant.
I believe that's all the questions I have for Mr. Verrett at this time.
Are there questions from the staff?
Randy, currently are any of your wells in Divide County hooked to a gas line?
We have two that were connected. Those are the Moraine and the Nordstog. Neither of those wells, to my knowledge right now, make enough gas to put in a pipeline. They're strictly all fuel usage on site. There's two.
So you're saying those wells are connected to a gas line?
They were connected to Amrod Hess, yes.
Okay. So they have nothing to sell. The infrastructure in the area, is it completely full in Divide County?
Our understanding is the Amrod Hess pipeline has been full. It's at capacity. It has no capacity. That's been the problem out here. If I might back up a moment, the negotiations with Amrod Hess, among other companies, began about 18 to 24 months ago, and we've worked through that. The problem with Amrod Hess is that the line they have does not have sufficient capacity to handle this type of a project. So we went out and solicited several different companies, upper management with One Oak, negotiated those contracts, and we went through several different companies before we decided on One Oak. So that gives you a little bit more of the history. The agreement, again, was signed last April with One Oak.
And there's an Ambrose plant up there, correct?
That's the Sterling facility, I believe.
And is that plant full?
That plant has no outlet that we're aware of. We have talked to Sterling, and there's no outlet on that to market on that plant to our knowledge.
Okay, and when you say there's no outlet, what are you're saying it's the stripping plant, or what are you saying?
Dan could probably tell you a little bit more about that. I'm not sure of the details because I was not involved in those negotiations as far as the individual pipeline companies and what the capacities of those various companies were. So I can't really address that.
Are you currently using any on-site electrical generation with your casing head gas?
We do have some on-site gas generation. We have a combination of gas and diesel. I believe Ward's going to get into more of that as we go through the rest of the presentation, get in some more of those technical details and mechanical details. But, yes, we do.
Okay. Thank you.
Next witness.
Ward Rickla. Ward, would you state your full name for the record, please, and spell your last name?
My full name is Ward Daniel Rickla, and the last name is spelled R-I-K-A-L-A.
And by whom are you employed and what capacity?
I'm employed with Baytex Energy USA, and I'm the production manager.
And you've testified before the commission previously, have you not?
Yes, I have.
Had your qualifications accepted as that of an expert?
Yes, I have.
Let's go on to the next exhibit in the packet, which is Exhibit E8. Can you tell us what E8 is and why it's important to today's application?
E8 is a plot of the Baytex operated production for Divide County, and it's pertinent because it shows our oil production along with the gas production from our operated wells in the field at the various times. If you there's a box on the right-hand side that shows a well count as of X date. And you can see on January 1st, 2011, we had 17 wells, and et cetera, et cetera. We're currently, as of January 1st, 2013, we're at 60 wells in Divide County. The plot is a daily production plot total, and the scale is 1,000 barrels oil per day on the bottom side, and it's also 1,000 MCF is the scale on this. You can see starting in January of 2011, the volumes are very low, and that is more of a reporting. Those are the actual gas volumes that were being sold to the Amerada-Hess line at that point in time. Starting in April 1st of 2011, we installed gas metering on the flare lines of all of our wells out there, and so that's a reporting change in reporting that we are now measuring the flared gas volumes in the field at that time, trying to get our own edification on how much gas we had available for sale. So if you take July 1st of 2011, we had 26 producing wells and approximately 600 MCF a day. That's 23 MCF per day per well flared volume. You can see coming across this thing that we were hovering right at about a million a day, or just slightly less than a million a day until April of 2012. There's a slight change there in how we were doing our reporting. From that point on, we're not just reporting the flared gas on this chart. It's also the used on lease on this to get a better idea what our total gas volume is.
Could you tell me again what date that was?
That's April 1st of 2012.
And Ward, I'm sorry, you're not finished.
No.
Okay, go ahead.
And you can see kind of coinciding with that April 1st of 2012 that our oil production ramped up and our gas production is ramped up as well. So the timing on this, keeping in mind that the gas contract was signed with One Oak in April of 2012, we've got gas now to go to market if they had the line in place.
And how much gas, approximately, how much gas on an average daily basis does Baytex have available for sale now?
In December of 2012, with the 60 wells, it would have averaged about 82 MCF per day, average, roughly.
And what do you anticipate that Baytex will have available for sale after the infrastructure, both electric and gas gathering, is installed in this area?
We're going to be in excess of $10 million.
And that will all be connected and go to gas gathering
facility? We're going to try to get it all connected, yes.
Great. Let's go on to the next exhibit, Ward E9. Tell us what E9 is.
E9 is just a summation of the webinar that was done here recently on December 12th of 2012 regarding some of the different alternatives for gas flaring. I won't go into them, but there's a lot of them listed. We tried to categorize them by different methods. You know, the dense phase transportation where they compress the wet gas, load it into a trailer, and then haul it to a facility offsite and then unload it. Power grid, distributed power generation, where they burn the gas, create electricity, and then sell it to the grid. Well, the problem with that is there's no grid. So we tried to go through each one and, you know, look at it and just have a quick explanation on, you know, the feasibility or lack of feasibility as it pertains to our project on this.
And in each case, you determined it was either economically infeasible or the infrastructure was just not there.
Was not there. Yeah. And the other thing we were looking at is we were looking at a long-term solution, which a pipeline will give us. A lot of this is more short-term. So we were looking for a long-term solution.
And you believe you found that long-term solution by entering into a contract with One Oak?
Yes, we have. Okay.
Let's go on to the next exhibit then, E10. And when I was questioning Randy, I asked him to, when he got to an exhibit like this where there was a lot of information, please hit the important parts, but try to be brief. And maybe we could start with the conclusions. Perhaps you could highlight the conclusions that are contained upon Exhibit E10.
Okay. To date, we've drilled and completed approximately 60 wells in the Divide County area. The average daily production from those 60 wells is approximately 75 to 80 MCF per day. There is no infrastructure out there to be able to provide electricity, you know, either to the wells or for us to provide, you know, power to a grid. We are utilizing natural gas from the wells to fire natural gas engines on the pumping unit in most of the cases. And then in some of the cases, in preparation for the electrification that we are doing, we have switched to a natural gas-fired generator, or we've had to go to some diesel generation as the wet gas is very difficult to try to keep things running on. After electrification, the Baytex wells in Divide County, the majority of the produced natural gas will be available for sale, with the exception of what fuel will be used on lease in the treaters. Currently, there is no infrastructure to provide gathering and processing of the natural gas produced in association with the oil from Baytex-operated wells in those fields in Divide County. Because of the lack of infrastructure in those fields, there is no market for the natural gas, and it is currently being flared. Based on the gas gatherer's estimate, that's One Oak, and their construction schedule, Baytex anticipates its existing and future producing wells will be connected to the One Oak system as follows. In the first quarter of 2013, we won't have any. Second quarter, there'll be approximately 19 wells. Third quarter, approximately 37 wells. Fourth quarter, approximately 13 wells. After the completion of the One Oak gathering system, that is when the market for the gas begins at that point. After the completion of the One Oak gathering system, any of our future wells drilled in the vicinity of the gathering line will be connected in a relatively short period of time, so we won't have a lot of flaring out there, if any. It'll be limited. Oil is valued at approximately 5 times that of natural gas, and producing wells at maximum efficient rates will give working interest owners the opportunity to recoup capital investment and determine the viability of future drilling. Batex has looked at numerous technologies in reference to the following slide there that, you know, we have looked at the grid, but due to lack of grid and lack of infrastructure, none of those were appropriate or applicable at the time.
Basically, all the things you looked at that were depicted on E9, is that right?
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
As the handling of the gas flaring cases has evolved, the use of single well and now field well orders has created some potentially confusing situations. To better manage these cases and to place the regulatory effort in line with orderly ongoing infrastructure development, a more organized and comprehensive approach to gas flaring orders, gas flaring appears to be in order for Batex operation in Divide County. And Batex's ongoing infrastructure development efforts are in alignment with NDIC's stated objectives and goals to reduce gas flaring to 10% of produced volume statewide by the end of 2013.
And, Ward, I mean, is it fair to say that Batex wants these wells connected as soon as possible?
Yes, it makes economic sense for us, too. I mean, the gas does have a volume or value if there is a market to go to. So, yes, we want them hooked up as quick as we can get them hooked up as well, yes.
And that was one of the reasons, as Mr. Verrett testified, that Batex was willing to make a capital expenditure in the electrification of the area because you want to get these wells connected.
That is correct, yes. Okay.
And you want as much gas to sell as you can rather than running gas engines on the sites.
And to reduce greenhouse gas, yes.
Exactly. Well, given that, the testimony that Mr. Verrett has offered, the testimony that you've provided in this hearing, the exhibits that you've discussed, do you have some recommendations that you want to make to the commission in terms of orders?
Yes.
Okay. Would you please provide us with that information?
The commission should grant the request to Batex as follows. The field rules for the Smoky Butte Bakken Pool, Blooming Prairie Bakken Pool, Garnett Bakken Pool, Musta Bakken Pool, and Whitaker Bakken Pool, Divide County, North Dakota, should be amended to allow unrestricted production of oil and flaring of gas until the wells can be connected to gas gathering facility. And next, because there is currently no market for the gas, the flaring of gas from the following wells should be allowed as an exception to the provision of NDCC 3808.06.4, and there's a list of 18 wells following.
And they're in three fields, is that correct?
That is correct.
And do you recall the question that Mr. Hicks asked Mr. Verrett that he deferred to you? if you don't, he can just ask it again. That's fine. Madam Examiner, I don't have any other questions for this witness. We would offer each one of the exhibits that was identified by the two witnesses. And once again, a reminder, we do have another witness available for some questions on the history of negotiating the contract. The contract does have confidentiality provisions, but he can speak generally as to how it was negotiated, so long as we don't get into specifics. And he might also be able to answer one of the questions that Mr. Hicks had as well.
All right. The exhibits will be received. Are there any staff questions?
Ward, on your exhibit E9, you have down there the alternatives to flaring. The second one there, NGL recovery and ammonia production, where's that and how much did you look into it?
We examined the slides following that presentation in December. And the slides didn't have a lot of detail that I could pull off that as to where those facilities are operating.
Okay, so you don't know if it's feasible or not. It was just
that one I do not know is feasible, okay. No.
How about liquid stripping? I know that there's some vendors out there that want to start doing this even on a small well basis. Have you looked into that recently and seen what's available out there?
Yeah, it's been a while since I talked to several of the different companies as far as trying to strip liquids. And our problem out here is you saw from that earlier slide that we're averaging back in 2011 20 MCF per day per well. Our volumes were so low at that time that we could not find anybody that had equipment that was sized small enough to be able to process any volumes of just to run the compressor to pressurize that gas up to a point where you could take it into a unit to strip the liquids, you're probably burning that gas in the compressor. So, you know, our volumes were too small at that time.
Okay. And as far as your on-site generation, electrical generation, did you try to do any stripping before you utilized that?
No, we have not.
Okay.
We're strictly using, attempting to use wet gas to generate enough power to run electric motors.
Okay. And on your last exhibit where you showed the 18 wells that you're wanting an exemption from 3808 06.4, those are not only on the docket today, but these are some of the past ones that you're waiting on orders, right?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, well, that will conclude our hearing for those cases.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Case number 17883, continued, application of Baytex Energy USA Limited for an order pursuant to North Dakota Administrative Code 43-02-03-88.1, authorizing the flaring of gas from the Geraldine Marie 34-163-99H number 1DQ well, located in the northwest-northwest of Section 34, Township 163 North, Range 99 West, Divide County, North Dakota, Ambrose, Bach, and Poole, pursuant to the provisions of North Dakota Century Code 38-08-06.4 and such other relief as is appropriate. Counsel for Baytex Energy USA Limited has requested that this case be remanded to the regular docket and will be heard at the end of the day. Case number 17884, continued, application of Baytex Energy USA Limited for an order pursuant to North Dakota Administrative Code 43-02-03-88.1, authorizing the flaring of gas from the Lystad 23-162-99 number 1QD well, located in the southeast-southeast of Section 23, Township 162 North, Range 99 West, Divide County, North Dakota, Ambrose, Bach, and Poole, pursuant to the provisions of North Dakota Century Code 38-08-06.4, and such other relief as is appropriate. Counsel for Baytex Energy USA Limited has requested that this case be remanded to the regular scheduled docket and will be heard at the end of the day. Case number 17885, continued, application of Baytex Energy USA Limited for order pursuant to North Dakota Administrative Code 43-02-03-88.1, authorizing the flaring of gas from the Sinclair number 24-162-99H well, located in the northwest-northwest of Section 24, Township 162 North, Range 99 West, Divide County, North Dakota, Ambrose, Bach, and Poole, pursuant to the provisions of North Dakota Century Code 38-08-06.4, and such other relief as is appropriate. Counsel for Baytex Energy USA Limited has requested that this case be remanded to the regular scheduled docket and will be heard at the end of the day. Case number 17886, continued, application of Baytex Energy USA Limited for an order pursuant to North Dakota Administrative Code 43-02-03-88.1, authorizing the flaring of gas from the Colby 23-14-160-99H number 1 PB well, located in the southwest-southeast of Section 23, Township 160 North, Range 99 West, Divide County, North Dakota, Burke, Bach, and Poole, pursuant to the provisions of North Dakota Century Code 38-08-06.4, and such other relief as is appropriate. Counsel for Baytex Energy USA Limited has requested that this case be remanded to the regular scheduled docket and will be heard at the end of the day.